Number two, the meaning of faith in particular, when it's used in connection with the name of God. Hebrews 11:6, I love this verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he is. Your relationships, no matter who they're with, are all about what you put into it. What do you put into your relationship with him? And if you're not putting a whole lot into this relationship, then maybe, again, you need to go back to the name and fall in love and really understand, man, I mean, the clearer I see Jesus, he just breaks me down to the point where I'm like, wow, you're amazing, how much you love me. But he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In Acts 27, verse 22, it says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you," this is Paul, "but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me." Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Here's Paul using his faith and letting other men see it. You know what? Nobody's going to be of harm. God spoke to me. I believe him. I serve this God. I know this God. We're not going to be hurt. Can you imagine later on? I wonder how many of those guys came back to him and said, "So tell me about him. Tell me about this God. You know, what did he say exactly? What's he like? How can I know him?" Paul's all about that, but he believed God. Here again, be of good cheer. Nobody's going to get hurt. I believe God. He told me we're going to be okay. Romans 4:19, Paul and Abraham and Sarah, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." Now imagine this man so old. You're going to have a son. Abraham's thinking of the flesh. I'm physically unable, so is my wife. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How often do we do that? We stagger at the promise. We're that wave. The unstable man is unstable, you know, in all of his ways, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know what, too? You act on this faith and you trust God and you push it and you just, God, I'm with you. And God diligently rewards you for stepping out. And then you give the glory to God. I hope if God rewards you for your faith, you've taken this great step of faith and something tremendous has happened and fruit's coming out of it. You don't ever turn the glory back to yourself. You turn it all over to God. He staggered, not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God is, isn't he? God can't lie. God is able to perform it. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. How many of you would raise their hand if I said, how many of you don't think God can do what he's promised us? I don't think anybody would raise their hand, right? So he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Also, Genesis 15:4. I like this. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," again, Abraham, "but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now," picture this, this old man being led out, "Listen to me, here's what I'm promising you. Brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars," look at all those stars out there, you see them? "If thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Believed. If you believe in the Lord, he's counted it to you for righteousness. There can't be any dealings with the invisible God unless there is absolute faith in his existence, obviously. We must believe in his reality, even though he's unseen. But we're told to believe even more than that, that he's a rewarder, that he will definitely honor those with blessing that approach him in prayer. I've had the Lord bless me so much in my life to the point where maybe I went to the very last drop of every bit of patience that I had. and he came through. I've had the Lord bless us when there was no fruit on the tree and we didn't know what we were going to do. I've had the Lord bless us in situations where I thought it was impossible. I've seen the Lord come through. I could sit here and tell you about all kinds of miracles. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'm not saying all the rewards are going to be here on earth either. You know, maybe you're going to get all kinds of crowns and rewards in heaven, sharing your faith or whatever it was. But we must believe in his reality even though he's unseen. And we're told, again, to believe more that he's a rewarder. He's going to honor those with blessing that approach him in prayer. And persistence is necessary. Persistence is important. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus, and he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He's come his way by me.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.' I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." There must be confidence in the word of God also. Do you approach God believing? And just because you're not answered, do you go back to him again? You know, if he uses an example of men like this, and he's trying to tell us how to pray, he's saying, keep coming back. And I'm not talking about vain repetitions. I know I just taught on that. I think this is part of getting us set up, so to say, in our diligence in seeking him, if you think about it. He may not answer our prayers right away because he wants you to come back again. He wants you to seek him again. And it might take some diligence. You know what? And I think by doing this, he's weeding out those that aren't serious too. But there, you have to have confidence in the word too. Going to him in faith, in asking. He says, he that asks, receive. Now, of course, that means if it's his will and if it's his time, and he knows better than you do. He may not answer that prayer because he knows something you don't know. Or that's not going to help you, Jim. Or that's going to ruin you, Jack. Or that's going to hurt you, Ginny. Whatever it might be. You don't know what you're asking for. I know better than you do. But he rewards you with those things that you really need if you're seeking him diligently. And I'm finding that it's just more him. He's salvation and he's grace and he's mercy and it's more of him. Anyway, faith believes all that God says as being 100% true, even though the circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. How many of you have a story where you just didn't think it was going to happen and it sure did? God came through. How many of us in this room, we've been right to the edge, how am I going to pay my mortgage? As a church, I really believe the Lord likes to see where we're at in our faith. How are we going to do it this month? Pray, just like last month. What do? Pray. He comes through. It seems every month, it's this continuing cycle. And you have those little moments where you're like, uh-oh, here we go again. What did we do last time? Oh, yeah, we prayed. And he came through. He does that. Acts 16:25. And I like this. We're not going to go too long. And if I'm reading a lot of scripture, I'm not going to apologize for it. But Acts 16:25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, now look at this. Is this awesome or what? And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he threw out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow. I wish somebody would ask me that every day. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. believing in God with all his house. That's an awesome story. Believing in God. Here are these guys, they're in prison and they're singing praises. It's kind of like what Deanna and I were talking about earlier. Praising him anyways. Praising him in the flood. Praising him in the fire, whatever it might be. And here are these guys who had diligently sought him are rewarded tremendously, aren't they? I mean, they don't think they're going to get out of this prison, and look what happens. I love when God does that. Maybe I'm pushed back into a corner, and I'm like, I know you're going to get me out of this. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm excited. I'm kind of excited to see how you're going to do this. I was telling the kids this morning, kind of excited to see what God's going to do in the next couple of weeks, because be interesting to see how it all goes. Anyways, if you look at faith here when used in connection with the person and work of Christ. Recall the three elements of faith we'd previously looked at and apply them here. First, there must be a knowledge of Jesus' claims to his person and mission in the world. And his person is, he's God. John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, this is that man that he healed, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? That I might believe on him." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. First comes the belief, and then comes the worship. The man believed, simply. John 10:30. Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." Jesus is God. We don't even have to, we're going to look at that as a whole separate issue. Jesus is God. The Trinity, we'll look at each member of the Trinity. Philippians 2:6, Paul wrote, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." I had a Jehovah's Witness, and I took him to John chapter 5 in this verse in Philippians, and I said, look at, Jesus is claiming he's going to get the glory. Jesus is claiming he can raise the dead. Jesus is claiming all the same things that the Father claimed. Don't tell me that he's not saying that he isn't God. Only God can do these things. And it opened his eyes. He didn't see it like that before. Jesus is going to judge all things. The guy said, "Yep, we believe that." I said, "Then he has to be perfect." "Yes." "Wait a minute. Yeah, God's perfect. Only God." He's like, "Oh, oh, let me think about that. I got to go to the bathroom." No, I'm just kidding. But his person, that he's God. Then there's his work. Matthew 20:28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." We have to believe in his work too. Matthew 26:26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" He gave thanks too. "He took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Let's see, should I read some more verses? Why not? Luke 24:27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This, I think, was the greatest Bible study ever. Jesus giving a Bible study from day one all the way up to the present time to these two men. And then he revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread. But believing in his work as well. Second, there has to be an assent to all of these claims. John 6:68. "Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go?'" You know, Peter said some of the most profound things. "Whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ." That Christ, the Son of the living God. Something tremendous has to be going on in Peter for him to say that. John 16:30 says, "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." So third, there must be a personal appropriation of Jesus being all that he claims. Again, we read John 1:12 earlier. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John 8:21, "Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." And then in verse 24, again he says, "If you believe not, you shall die in your sins." There must be surrender to a person, not just faith in a creed. Faith in a doctrine must lead to faith in a person, Jesus Christ. If salvation is to be the result, that's what we're talking about. Martha was led to substitute faith in a doctrine for faith in a person. You remember the story, John chapter 11, verse 25. She believed in the resurrection. She didn't know that he was the resurrection. The resurrection is standing right in front of him. He's the resurrection. So faith in faith, again, that's another idea that I think is ridiculous. It's this kind of faith with knowledge, with assent, and appropriation that saves. Now, before you don't think you have this, I think you do. I think you do believe these things. I think in some cases we just need to be reminded of it. But this is the believing with a heart. Again, if Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. It's because we believe in our heart that we confess with our mouth, isn't it? Do you confess Jesus Christ to people? It's because you believe it in your heart. And again, think of this. Faith doesn't guarantee escape. That depends on Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think we're going to get rewarded because I've got so much faith. Well, is it in Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the deliverer. What is the faith in your faith? Or is it in him? Are you going to be delivered? Are you going to escape because you have so much faith? Or are you trusting in Jesus Christ for that? Faith when used in connection with prayer. Three passages that deal with this relationship. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Are you praying according to his will? Are you believing that he's going to answer your prayer? And are you trusting him for the answer? Or have you made up your mind what your answer is already? Lord, I need help. Please help me. I need help in this struggle. Whatever. Or are you praying, Lord, I need, $1,225 by tomorrow. He knows how to answer your prayer. Are we believing that he hears us? Are we believing that what we ask, he's going to come forward with? How does our faith come out in our prayer life? James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally." I'm asking for wisdom all the time. "And upbraideth not," he doesn't hold it back, "and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Listen, God is so good. There's an exception to this even. There were people praying in the book of Acts who didn't believe their prayer was even going to be answered. They were praying that Peter would be released. And the way I know that they didn't think their prayer would be answered was because Peter shows up at the door and they don't believe it. They're praying. They're inside praying. Peter gets released. And Rhoda goes to the door and says, "It's Peter." "No, it isn't. It must be his ghost." Well, isn't that what they're praying for? He answers their prayer anyways. And I'm not saying don't pray with faith. I'm saying pray with faith. But there are times he'll answer our prayer anyways, just because he's so awesome. He's so wonderful. But pray in faith. Pray with faith. And Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And again, you know what? Consider where you started out praying. What are you really asking for? What is the motive? There you go, right there. The motive. Again, back to Sunday. What is the motive behind this? Because I want to be famous. God doesn't want you to be famous. Because I want to be rich. God doesn't want you to be rich, maybe. You know, what are the motives? Acts 10:20, there it says, "Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." That's what the Lord said to Peter. "I'm sending people to you. get down, get going, don't doubt. And I like Peter got down and he got going and he didn't doubt. You know, Peter, after the Holy Spirit came upon him, was a totally different guy. And he had some faith to start with. To doubt means to question whether or not the thing you are requesting can be done. Romans 4:20 says, "And he," that's Abraham, again, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Real faith thanks God for the thing that's asked for, if it's according to God's will, even before receiving it. And I read Mark 11:24. We need to recognize that knowledge, assent, and appropriation exist here too, and believe it, and we need to act upon it. You need this, right? We need to believe that knowledge, assent, and appropriation exist in our prayer life as well, and believe it, and act on it. Things may be unseen and non-existent as far as sight and knowledge are concerned, but faith makes it a reality. I just want to close with something that, when we were in Canada, we prayed and we trusted the Lord. I can't tell you how many times, just in one night, I think some of you have heard the story before, our car broke down. I prayed, "Lord, I need help." The guy immediately pulled over and started to help me push the car. And we couldn't do it, and we prayed for more help, and a bigger guy pulled over and started helping us, and we pushed the car off the road. And then they vanished. And I'm like, "Now what do I do, Lord? It's Labor Day." And I'm praying again, and I'm like, "Lord, I know you hear me, and I know you've put me here, and I know you're going to get me out of this. I don't know how." And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, "Lord, I need help." And I hear this rumble, and no kidding, tow truck pulls right there. "You need help?" "Yes." He tows me over to my friend's house, where his truck is, that I just drove him to the airport in. So I have the keys. "You drive me over there, I can get the keys and follow you." He's going to tow the car over to a place that's the only place open on Labor Day in all of Oakville. Make this story short, he tows it over there. He doesn't really want much. He wants to help. He leaves it there. The guy at the place calls me the next day, says it's an alternator. "I'm the only guy open. I'll try to work with you here." I get over there, and the guy's watching a giant big screen TV, and he's watching the shootings that went on in that school in Russia. Do you remember that? There was all those kids that were killed. And he's Macedonian. And I'm standing there, and he's saying what it's going to cost for the car and everything. And, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor." And he says, "Then what's going on here? You tell me about this." And I said, "I can't explain that. There's evil in the world." And he starts crying. And I said, "Where are you from?" Because he's got this accent. He goes, "Macedonia." I said, "Macedonia? I was on a mission trip over there for a while." I said, "I loved Macedonia. It was a cool place. Jack's been there too, right?" And we're talking about Macedonia. And then he turns back and he's like, "Tell me about this." So I just shared Jesus with him. I said, "You need to know Jesus, because this man doesn't know Jesus." Anyways, long story short, I'm witnessing to all these guys in his garage, lead this guy to the Lord, come back later with all this information for all these guys and everything. And when I bring the kids back with me, he cuts the price of the car down even more. "You got kids?" "Oh!" There was something about that car, too. I dropped it off for even more work than that once, not knowing what I was going to do. "Lord, you're going to have to do something." When I went to pick it up, the guy said, "I don't know who you are, but somebody paid for the whole bill." And I flipped out. I'm like, "Really?" But the things the Lord kept doing, you know, we believed that he was going to provide. We'd find money in the front door. We'd find groceries. You really believe. It may not come in the ways you expect, but it comes. Trust him. Whatever your situation is now, put it before him and trust him that he knows. He knows what you're going through, and he's going to get you out of it. We panic. Don't panic. Call me up. I'll pray with you. And everybody's faith wavers. My pastor, I thought, was the man, number one on this planet, who had the most faith of anybody I've ever seen. And he drove up to Canada to visit us. And he was saying, "Pray for me. I got to go to Miami. I got to go to Europe. I got to go here. I got to go to Pennsylvania. I'm here in Toronto. I got to teach all day tomorrow. I got to do this. I got to do that. He goes, "I called Rosemary and I said, please pray for me." And he goes, "Jim, please pray for me." And I'm like, looking at him like, "Are you putting me on?" He's like, "No, I'm just overwhelmed." Wow, okay. We're all human. We all need faith. I've seen him be the strongest man of faith I've ever seen, but I've also seen him waver too. Warren and I, we get together and we pray about certain things, and we're kind of like, "Lord's going to have to do this," over and over and over again. Anyway, let's pray. I've kept you long enough. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, And we thank you that you've given us faith, and I just pray we use it, Lord, like a muscle. We use it and it grows. Increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing your word. We need to hear your word. We need to apply it to our lives. We need to learn it and memorize it. And Father, the greater we get to know you, the more faith we're going to have. Give us a greater understanding of your grace, the more love we're going to have. And Lord, if we love you and trust you and believe you and know your name, there's absolutely nothing we should doubt. I pray we're moving toward that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.